It's good to be in the house of the Lord. The Lord is well able to perfect in us so much that it's beyond our reckoning of what God can do with us. So many times we have everything at our dispense, everything at our hand, and we simply deny it for other pleasures, other cautions, being afraid, being fearful. But we all know the verse as well as anything in the Bible, which says the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear comes from where? Unanimous, all together. Can't say it today. But we know this. We all know where fear comes from. We all know who generates it. We all know that it's not from God. But yet we caress it. We bring it in. We hold it to ourselves. Fear will grow every single thing that was in that suitcase. Where's that thing at? Bring that out here. And it kind of goes along with today's message. And if you would, Debbie, I'd get you to do something. Take each one of these things and kind of fold these where they'll stand up if possible. Like maybe like this. Because after all, this is where those belong. Those things. And the sooner that we realize that these are the things that are not of God, the sooner we can graduate beyond these things. Now, I can tell you all day long to bring your problems and drop them here, but until you have the faith and you take it upon, hear me now, on yourself, until you take it upon yourself to believe God and what He has and what He's saying about you and for you. And when He says you, it becomes a personal thing. You individually, you personally, you must believe that God is able. As we said in Sunday school this morning, God is not some death insurance policy that I have one day later on when I die. It's insurance to get away from my punishment. So long that has been our belief, and we have missed out on the things that God has given us. And we've missed out because of one thing. Now, we can list whatever we think sin is and give them all names, but sin is simply, and I want you to keep this in mind throughout the entire message this morning, sin is simply disobedience to God. It wasn't marijuana or pornography or any of the drinking or drugs or any of that stuff that originated sin in the garden. That wasn't the case. What originated sin was disobedience. What keeps it alive is disobedience. What makes it grow in your life is disobedience. And if you'll turn with me to John chapter number 2, that's 1 John chapter number 2, towards the back. It's good to see you. 1 John chapter number 2. When you get there, please stand for the reading of God's Word. First John chapter number 2, verses number 1 and 2. John writing to all Christians, he said, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not." Easy as it is, ain't it? "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The thing that I want to minister today is if you have sinned. Not that sin should become a lifestyle. One thing I want us to bear in mind, we don't continue in sin so that we say we have grace, so that we can say we have forgiveness. God forbid. That means God's not going to let that happen. Now, I can continue in sin. I can walk in sin. I can pray every night and ask God to forgive me of my sin, but I'm not going to depart from it. Am I really forgiven? It takes the Bible to prove that. And I'm going to give that to your own study, because that's a message all by itself and may be forthcoming. But sin, disobedience to God, no, we're going to call it sin, exactly what it is. Because we make all of these little cutesy names for it so it's not offensive and it don't convict us. Because if I call it a mistake, then it's not as bad as sin. Because it don't say mistakes will keep us out of heaven, sin will. If I say disobedience, it's still not as bad as sin. Well, sin is sin. Okay? And it's time that we, as the Church of God, Unity Baptist, those listening by CD that I give this to, it's time that we realize exactly what sin is and what it's doing to us. No longer do we get a bypass on it. It's not going to happen. We need to take it very seriously, which we take it lightly a lot of times. We do. We take sin very lightly when we commit it. We write it off because either it seems small to us or it's habitual. I've been doing it so long. My hope is this morning is that somebody will step back from where they're at right now and get on the road to righteousness. Well, are you saying we're all going to hell and we're not going to make it through the judgment? That's not my judgment. But today, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to speak to some hearts. Because it's time that we pull the blinders off of ourselves and we see where we're really at. Whether it be the ones we like to preach about, the ones we like to mention, the ones we like to look at, which are the ones we don't commit, those are the ones we want to talk about. And we can talk about all of the big ones, but I'm asking the Holy Spirit, and have been praying for the last week, that He goes into the heart this morning. Because what a bad thing, what a terrible thing, for me to arrive in front of God and say, well, I didn't think that mattered. I didn't think that was important. Why? How's that important? You know, look, you know what year I lived in. You know what was going on, God. Oh, when it comes to promises, we want to hold God to His Word and say, He don't change, that's for me. When it comes to our sin, we want to say, well, now God understands, and it don't work both ways. Either His Word is true, or it is a lie. It's either in or out. You're not part of the way. Let me get that clear this morning. We have manufactured this thing of being a little right and a little wrong, and in the end, it's all going to go okay as long as I believe in Jesus. Your belief in Jesus should produce righteousness. Grace is not the scapegoat. That was done away with. Now we are held accountable. And we need to realize that. Sin is serious. It is a very serious thing. But however, I like, and my advice to you is what John said. My advice to you is, I would that you sin not. Put it in Terry's language, I would like it a lot better if you did not sin. I would like it better if you were not disobedient to what God's Word says and to what the Holy Spirit does in you. Now, we have to remember one thing. God told us He's not going to write the laws any longer on paper. It's going to be a dealings with you. And that's where I want to go this morning. You know where you stand. You know. You don't need me to name. We sit in the pews and play that so much. Well, if they name it, then I'll know it's me. It's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And let me ask you this. As a volunteer. Tony, would you like for me to bring you up here and say, Tony, the Holy Spirit has revealed to me what all of your sins are. And now we're going to tell everybody. Who really wants it to be named in? Well, if you could name it, but just not point me out. No. See, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He names it and points you out to you, not to embarrass you, but to bring you closer to God. And again, the sin is not the big ones that we think about. The sin is a disobedience to God. That's what I want you to bear in mind. Regardless of whatever your excuse is, regardless of whatever you put up there, the fact is it comes down to, Jesus said, either you're wheat or a tear. Isn't that what he said? Either you're in or you're out. Matter of fact, he goes on in his revelation of who he is. He says that if you are lukewarm, what's it say God will do? Spew you out. Now, if I eat a big supper and I spew something out, what did I do? Vomited. So if I'm in and out, I make God what? Now, I know, and let me give you this. If I have a piece of cake, this is my plate, and I have a piece of cake here, okay? Can I spew that cake? Can I vomit that cake out if it's never been in me? So it must have been once in me to make it come out. So we need to realize who God's writing to when he says that. When it comes to our sin, I think that we underestimate the gravity of it, the seriousness of it. I really think we do. Or we would not haphazardly do the things that we do. Now, anybody tell me, what does gravity do? Pulls you down. Gravity, no matter how small or how light, I could drop it, it goes down. That's the same thing that sin does to us. If you wonder why we have such hard times, why we have so many trials, why we have so many tribulations, could it be because there is sin in our life? And again, not murder, not drunkenness, not drugs, not whoremongering, not all of the big ones that we like to label. Disobedience. Could it be that there is sin in our life and the Holy Spirit would like to get a hold of it and get it out so that we can move closer? When we sin, we have a choice. When that sin occurs, right after it occurs, the conviction says, pow, right then is a very critical time in your Christian walk. You have two choices, two roads to go down. One road, you're going to just disown it, put it away, continue with it, not take it seriously. And if you have a problem taking sin seriously, I would like to get you into the Bible a little bit more, get you praying a little more, and start your prayers with this, Holy Spirit, show me. Sometimes we don't want to ask that because he will, and if he will, he puts the end to my fun. Right? So we can keep going on down this path and become calloused. Now, no, we won't find the word calloused in the Bible. They call it hard-hearted. And when we get away with it once, it makes it easier. How many of you have been kids? Let me see a raise of hands. How many people's been kids? Okay. When you were kids, how scary was it the first time you tried something disobedient? But then you got away with it. And then you tried it again. And then you thought you had it figured out. So you kept doing it. And then you got caught. Oh, you get me out of this mess, God, and I'll never do it. God, don't cut a deal like that. Because he already knows we can't keep up our end of the bargain. He knows we can't. So when you sin and you say, if I can get out of this, then I won't do it anymore. God's not cutting that deal. You're trying to cut a deal. God wants you to come to him in yourself, just as David did. I don't know about y'all. It blew me away when I read the life of David the first time I was cruising through Samuel. I was like, how can a guy who does all of this stuff be the apple of God's eyes? And then I find out in Psalms, because David knew how to repent. David said, oh God, I don't care what my punishment is, just don't remove yourself from me. He didn't say, now if you get me and Bathsheba out of this mess, Yeah, I know I did it. But if you had it, God, then I'll worship you. I'll read. I'll pray. I'll be your king. I'll be your man. If you just cover all this up, no. And that's what happens a lot of time when we sin. A lot of times we want to make an excuse for it. We want to cut a deal with God. You had it, and then I will. We don't take it seriously as to the damage that it actually does to us spiritually and to what it does to those that are around us. How many of you, not by show of hands, but in your mind, how many of you have revered somebody in the ministry or at church, some Christian, somewhere, and then you see them do something and you've been so let down and thought, I never thought. I mean, I remember here, when they stood on this, they vowed this, they didn't let that happen, and now they're over here saying. Do you think that change just happened overnight? It slowly pulled them away. So when you've got this road presented to you, you can either shrug it off, discount it. It's not the Holy Spirit. I've even heard people say, that's not the Holy Spirit. Brother, they've told me that that's the devil trying to make me feel bad because he don't want me to have a good time. We need to be careful and realize that conviction comes from God. Now, I know y'all have heard me say this before, but I want to refresh your memories because Peter said, even though you be established in this thing, it does me good to stir you up and to remind you of where you're at. Can I tell you, conviction to your spirit is what nerves are in your body. If I had no nerves in my body as I'm ministering, somebody could have put something up here that could be a nail. I could cut the bottom of my foot, walk around here and bleed to death and never even know it. Never feel a thing. And a Christian without any conviction will slowly have death come and never know it. But thank God for conviction. Because conviction to my spirit is like nerves to my body, so that when I do something wrong, when I transgress against God, when I sin against God, when I'm disobedient to God, it cuts me and lets me know there's something wrong that needs immediate attention. The other road you can take is you can be honest with yourself. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think most people here, the list of the big ten, I pray that we don't have any thieves or murderers and whoremongers and the list as goes. But then God quit writing the list and give it to us on our heart. You can be honest with yourself and say, I sin. Isn't that kind of uncomfortable to say? I mean, think about the last time that you were disobedient and you transgressed against God. Regardless of what it be, think about you saying, I sinned there. Well, I didn't sin, I made a bad decision. I mean, let's give it a lot of colorful names. I made a mistake. I slipped. I boo-boo. And if I could put plus, plus, plus to each one of them, at the end we put an equal sign, which is sin. So be honest with yourself. Don't make excuses for yourself. Because Paul said, if I don't know it as sin, I'll never depart from it. Until we're ready to call our sin, sin. As long as we baby it, it's cutesy. It's a cutesy little churchy thing that it just happens to Christians because we all make mistakes, don't we? Bobby, have you ever made a mistake? I have too. So then that makes it okay, right? No. No. Resounding no. Be honest with yourself and say, Lord, I have sinned against no one but you. You are the one that I sinned against. Your commandments, your calling of the Holy Spirit. Be honest with yourself and bring it in. Because as it says here in 1 John, if you flip over to verse number, in my Bible, you can just look up. Chapter 1, verse number 9, he says, if we confess our sins, now notice that first word there, if we confess our sins. What has to take place? Well, I'll finish the verse. He is faithful and just to forgive us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. For me to be forgiven, what must I do first? Confess. Well, why should I mention it? It's not that bad. I'll never get forgiveness unless I confess it. I can't write it off by saying, well, God knows my heart. You better bet He does. That's why the Holy Spirit sent that conviction to you to awaken you to what you're doing. David said in Psalm 32, he said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgivest my iniquity and my sin. Can it be that easy? I mean, is it just that easy? I'm doing whatever I'm doing, and the Holy Spirit says, that's sin, and I stop, and I say, God, that's sin. I agree with you. That's sin. And He says, okay, you're forgiven. Don't do it no more. Can it be that easy? Can righteousness come that easy? The woman who was full of adultery, what did Jesus tell her? I know what you're doing, but go and sin no more. Use Jesus' words. I don't care about your past. You told me about it. Now let's fix it and go forward. Until we fix what is broken. I had a gentleman that come in work, and he said, I need to know what kind of stuff I can put up on my ceiling because I got a bad water stain and a water spot, and I want to paint it, but when I paint it, it keeps coming through. And I said, well, kilts will hide the stain, but have you fixed the problem? He said, no, I'm going to put a fiberglass panel up because water can't come through it. I said, that's not going to work. Well, sure, it won't be a spot on the ceiling. And there's some things that may not be a spot in your life. But sin unrepented of, sin unconfessed, will show up somewhere else. Now, what that'll do is it's going to run down that panel, probably hit his studs, go down his studs. Will it appear on a wall? Maybe, maybe not. But if it don't appear, the fiberglass is up there, there's no water stains, means everything's good, everything's fine, everything's just fantastic. Until somebody starts to get sick. And they go to the doctor. Doctor says, you got a mold problem. Not in my house, I had one at one time. I fixed it. And they come in and do a mold test. This actually happened. And a guy, every sheet of drywall in four rooms have to be taken out. All of the ceiling has to be taken out. All of the two befores have to be scrubbed. Some of them have to be replaced. Because he didn't fix the leak. He patched it. And a lot of times, folks, hear me. A lot of times in our Christianity, that's what we're doing. We patch it. We don't fix it. What more? We don't even want to fix it. And we think if it don't show, it's okay. But it's slowly corroding and brings up all of these. So I guess, and I don't want to leave this point, but can it just be that easy to be forgiven? Is the response, and I know sometimes we as Christians, when somebody's ministering, we kind of hold back because there was a time there when ministers wanted to set you up for a big question and get you all to say, yeah, and they say, oh, no, you're not, got proof. But no, actually, that's a question. Is forgiveness simple? Is it easy? It has to be so simple that these guys can understand it. We are the ones that cloud it up. We're the ones that make it difficult. But it's not so. Or as it says in Cheryl's Amish books, ain't so. It simply ain't so. Forgiveness is there. And I guess the reason that it's so hard for us to grasp it, the problem that we have with forgiveness is the confession part, first agreeing with God that it's wrong, because if we agree with God that it's wrong, and I do it again, so if I just don't ever agree that it's wrong, then I can keep doing it, and grace will cover it, right? Grace ain't the scapegoat. We know what grace is. Grace is God's influence on your heart. That's a definition of it. And the reflection in your life. So it's time to the things that we know are wrong, as painful as it may be, and as much out of the loop as it may take us, we need to get away from them. To shun the appearance of evil. The appearance of it. When we see it in the horizon, get away from it. Don't play with it. Don't even get near it. Where to go from here? Well, what about folks who says, well, it's no use. Why should I confess and repent? Because it's just going to happen again. I'm just going to keep doing the same thing. Are you? Whose decision is that? If your heart is broken over your sin, and our problem is, a lot of times our heart just ain't broken. That's why we can override the Holy Spirit so easy. We become accustomed to it. When God convicts us now over that thing, we just don't even feel it anymore. Hard-hearted. And then, through our hard-heartedness, comes the root of bitterness, fear, anger, deceit, intolerance, and the final nail, our love dies for each other. Because see, I can't be so self-centered and shut God out without it actually happening in my life. Because how many people will agree, and if you will hear me in this instance, that whatever's going on in your spiritual life will also come out in your physical life. As he used to say in our lunchroom at elementary school, you are what you eat. And if all I do is put junk in my spirit, what can I expect to get out? Junk. But if I put the things of God in there and I don't refuse him who spake and give me hope, what can I expect? Hope. And I guess what the point that I want you to see this morning, though this may be into some length, the point I want you to see is that you can make it. Why would John ever say, I would that you sin not? Because there is a possibility. We can go a full week listening to the Holy Spirit and not doing that. And there was a person who I challenged that, and they did it. And she come and she said, you're not going to believe this. I did it the whole week. And I was like, great, fantastic. What happened? She said, I was able to witness to people and talk to people. And it's like God just came on. That's because you're saying yes and amen to his presence. What would happen when you went to correct little Eric and little Eric smacked you and said, no, that's okay, I'm going to do it anyway. What would happen to little Eric? Little Eric wouldn't be back in the sound booth right now. We'd be remembering tomorrow. But yet we do that to the Holy Spirit. Don't for a minute allow doubts and fears to come in. The biggest thing is doubt. Can God really forgive me? Can I live that way? The resounding answer is yes. John said in verse number 2, he is the propitiation for our sins. He's the payment. He's the sacrifice. The atoning sacrifice for our sin. Now, say, I don't know, since I'm not going to pick on you, Rob. I'll skip you there. Say Jimmy gets a ticket for speeding. And they look at you and say, Mr. Young, we know you. And now, we're going to take your license. Or, you can pay a $1,000 fine. Now, I'm sure that you just don't have that laying around. But any one of us would find a way to get that $1,000 rather than lose our license. Lose the freedom that we have to move around. And you can already see where I'm going with this. We'll pay that penalty. And they say, oh, but since you're a constant offender, it's going to be $1,000 a year. We budget that in our budget and go right on with it because we don't want to lose our ability to be free. But how would you feel if somebody in that courtroom stood up and said, I'll represent him. You ain't got to pay a thing, Jimmy. I got it covered. You don't owe me a thing. It's covered. Keep your license. Go on. But as long as you call me when you break the law and you don't make it a habit and you do your best, and if that happens again, call me. I'm asking you, Jimmy, that it don't happen again. But if it does, know I got you covered. God bless you. Everyone. So isn't that just fantastic? That if you fail at that offense, if you are disobedient to God, you have an advocate with the Father, the Holy One of Israel. It's not in your righteousness, but it's through the righteousness of Jesus. Now, Rick's a pretty good sized fella. I'll use him. Okay. This Rick, is the judge. Looking at me, all you can see is me and guilty. But when I go to my advocate, who is with the Father, he can't see me. I'm what, brother? I'm covered by my advocate, which in myself, I no way can I stand before the Father with what I've done. The price is too much for me to pay. Amen. I can be put in a prison, but in a prison I can't work and pay it, so I'm forever lost. Mm-hmm. But then I have an advocate with the Father that says I paid that price. I would that you sin not. But if you sin, know you have an advocate with the Father who is the payment for your sin. Not that you should take that sin lightly, which is what we do. Now let's get some scripture. Sin. What is sin? What do I do about it? How do I combat it? How do I know what sin is? To him, the James, book of James. To him that knoweth to do good and do it not. Come on, Debbie, loud. I can hear you. It is. So you mean if I know this is wrong for me and I do it anyway, it becomes sin? Is that what it's saying? But Brian does it. Does that make it okay? And we look at it and say, if Brian's doing it, then maybe God ain't, it's not bad. So I start making my excuses. But how do I know the Holy Spirit ain't telling Brian the same thing he's telling me, just Brian ain't listening? And vice versa. You see something in my life, and maybe I just ain't listening to the Holy Spirit. Does that automatically make my sin okay? How many people's watched the news and seen somebody who has murdered somebody? Okay, he committed murder. Does that make murder okay? How many people knows of somebody who has stole something from somebody? Does that make me okay to come over and shop your garage? We'll do that with all of the big ones. But the big ones. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Correct? The scripture says, it's the little foxes that spoil the branches. Is that what it says? Or does it say, it's the little foxes that spoil, which means tear up the vine? So I've done a little research, and you know what foxes do to vines? They chew all of the bark from around the bottom of the vine, so none of the water, the washing of the Holy Spirit, can get to the branches. It's the little foxes. I want you to search your heart this morning. Is there disobedience in you? And we hear, and I wrote this down, and I want you to have it for what confession and repentance is. Confession comes from the word confess, which means to own, to acknowledge, and to agree with God that it was wrong. That's a confession. Repentance is to change your actions concerning the previous action. Confessed. Very simple. Now, God says in Hebrews 8:12, He says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their iniquities I will remember no more. There are even times when we may think that temptation is a sin. Temptation is not the sin. James, well, I got it right here. James says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. When he is drawn, is that sin? No. Of his own wants and his desires, not just a sexual lust. Lust simply means want. When you're drawn away of your own wants, you're starting to be tempted. The temptation is not the sin. He says enticed. Enticement in the sin. Because if it don't look good, you won't do it. If you don't have that desire. But when the want, the lust, has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. But, and this is one I want you to turn to, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want you to hold on to this verse. I want you to remember this verse. I want you to lock it in your mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll give you a minute to get there. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken who? You. But such is common to man. That means everybody around you is going through temptation too. May have different names on it, but temptation is temptation. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Every temptation that comes, so that you can handle the temptation, there is an escape. This building catches on fire, we look right there, and what does it say? You can turn around and look. It says that for a reason, so we can get away. So much so that there is a law that every single building must have those in them, and they must be lit up to get people's attention. Because we don't want anybody to burn. So we make a way of escape. God has made a way of escape for every temptation you enter. And I got a bag full of temptations right here I thought I'd bring along. Don't you want to see what they are? Now, Rick's going to read something for us. Now, this one here. And then, you know, the newspaper's changed. I got this to get... Well, I'll tell you in a minute. But it ain't as big as it used to be, okay? All right, brother. What's that say right there?
Movies.
Now, above movies, amazingly, I didn't even know this was on there. What does this say, brother?
Movie ratings.
Does the Bible say so that I'm not without excuse? Now, Debbie Rogers gave me and Cheryl a little tip on Focus on the Families. You can go in, you can look up any movie, and they'll tell you exactly everything that is in it. What's amazing to me is so many people tell me there's no language in there. And I say, Cheryl, look this up. We can go see the movie. And she'll say, come and look at this. And I'm like, how did they not hear that? Callous. These are Christian folks. Callous. How can I make a way? And what I was going to tell you is, used to, you could open it up and it had all of the ads for all of the movies and you could see what was playing, but they don't do that anymore, I guess. How can I escape going to see something wrong? What? Loud. That's too hard, Tony. You mean just make a decision and don't go see it? Because it would be opposing God. It would be disobedience to what I know to be the truth. How many folks in your mind, you don't have to have a show of hands, but how many folks could say, well, I just don't share that same conviction? Sarah, you used to babysit. I don't know if you still do, but you're babysitting. Caleb. Caleb drops a bomb. Boom. You say, oh, well, that's okay. And you tell Amy, Caleb dropped a bomb today when I was babysitting. Amy says, it's going to be around him. All kinds of kids say it. He's going to do what he's going to do. Would that be okay? Wouldn't be okay, would it, buddy? No, that's right. So if we would not permit little Caleb to say it, why would I pay for somebody to say it to me? You don't get a lot of amens on that one. Because that takes away the fun. Because if I don't know, I don't know. Obedience. Not saying whether it's sin or not, I'm saying ask the Holy Spirit. As a young man, and I've shared this with y'all before also, Young man once asked me, he said, about rap music, do you think that's bad? And I said, well, I'm not going to say. I want you to pray and you ask the Holy Spirit and let Him teach you. Let Him tell you. And I promise you, He will. Everything that I've asked the Holy Spirit, He's given me an answer. I ain't always liked them. I ain't always liked the answers I get, but He gives one. He said, well, I don't want to do that. I said, why not? He said, well, I know what the Holy Spirit will say. And sometimes we'll search around. If we can find somebody who agrees with our sin, then that makes it okay. Right? Wrong. That don't make it okay. I was not going to buy exactly what the magazines that I've seen. But we know some of these that have the names and all of the stuff on the front. And not necessarily pornographic. Okay? How many know there's some things I can buy over the counter that's just as bad for me to... I'm in a checkout. I take them things and turn them around backwards. I don't even want them looking at me. I'm not worried about the offense that might come to Bobby. I'm worried about the junk it's going to put. I don't know about y'all, but it's hard in this world for me to keep this thing clean. I got to change the filter daily. It's tough. But if this is not right for me to be looking at, with the temptation to look at it, there's made an escape. What's my escape? Can it be that simple? Put them away. What else we got? Now, I didn't have none of these bad, but you can borrow this, Rick, if you want to. What about these? Okay, we'll do this. What if I got some of these that are, I mean, all of the advertisement, it looks good. They got t-shirts, they got posters, they got lunch boxes, they got everything about this. This is the movie to see. Come on now, don't shut me off just because we get on movies and entertainment. Folks, that's where we are the, I feel the Holy Spirit, that's where we are the most disobedient to God we can be. We're willing to sacrifice Jesus. We're willing to put Him right back up on the cross for an hour and 30 minutes of entertainment and say it was nothing. I get to make the decision of what I do. And it's not necessarily movies. There's the sitcoms that are and cartoons. Oh my goodness. You can't even watch Cartoon Network anymore. So do I just watch it because that's what's there? That's what's given to me? That one went over with a lot of gravity, brother. What else we got in here? Hey, how about this? I learned how to use this, by the way. How about these? Can this be sin? Now, some things come on this. Uh-oh, got Carter going. Man of God, he's a preacher too. Now, some things come on this, but if I got sin on there, from what I learned from doing this, I had to be the one to put it on there. I had to go in and select it, put it in my file, in my memory. Bring it out, put it on this, plug this in my ear, then turn it on, go through all of them. Message that come up is the unpredictable pathway to sin. That's a good one. I'll let you borrow that sometime, brother. I got to select it, pop it in my ears, and the whole time override the Holy Spirit while it's taking place. How many of us has had some form of media and we hear the Holy Spirit and we simply override, don't raise your hand, you don't have to, it's between you and God. And we just simply override it. We continue in it. And what amazes me in the whole thing, we know what we do. It's like in a play Cheryl and I seen with John on the Isle of Patmos. And we even look in the Gospels and we see the scribes and the Pharisees and what they done in mocking Jesus and making fun of Jesus on the cross. And the guy that was playing John, he said, but I see the difference. We were with him. We heard his promises, his teaching. We know he saved us. We know he gave us salvation. We know what he did. And when we ran, we know what we were doing. And we do. How about this one? By the way, I learned how to do this too. Sarah, I can do it almost with two hands. Can what I text to somebody be disobedient, ungodly, and sin? Now, I don't know. I hear you can even send pictures, and that has got to be sin. And what we think to be private is not private at all. Anybody can pick this up and that knows about it can scroll through it and find anything that I put in there. Am I correct, cell phone users? But way before that, as it was enticed in my mind and I'm sitting here doing like this, the conviction's on my heart, but I'm doing it anyway. Because after all, this is what Robbie deserves. Somebody's going to know. Send it. Yeah. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have did that. You know, after you hit that button, it's gone. As newfangled as this is, there's a word in the Bible that says words that come out of your mouth is like an arrow from a bow. It cannot be caught. Could this be a source of disobedience? When this on my side needs to ring when I'm praying? But what if Robbie really needs to ask me something important like where to go fishing? Where we're going to go fishing? Are we going fishing? Because let's think about what, as we got to have this all the time, how many of our conversations are of real importance. But yet we can't lay it down long enough to be alone with the Lord. This one I like. Watch me break it. Sure, you want to get a new one? This thing here. You know, this is an amazing thing. It's plugged into my computer. And this mouse will sit on his little house, the mouse pad. And the mouse in the house will never do nothing. But you know who brings life and bad decisions to the mouse? I can't go, oops, oops, and keep typing it up there and accidentally, well, God, you, I didn't mean to. I wasn't looking for that, God. You know that was a complete accident. I wouldn't mean, I mean, I thought it might be something else. I thought it might be Amway or whatever. The decisions are yours. This is perfectly harmless. Sis, I put the mouse in his house on my desk for a week, and he just does this. Don't do a thing. He just sits there. And you know what's amazing about the mouse? Is the mouse can bring me points for my spirit. It can bring me worship, understanding to God's word, or it can bring total devastation and destruction in my life. Is it Google's fault? Is it Dell's fault? Apple? IBM? Is it all their fault if I allow the mouse to bring devastation to me? It's my decision. My decision. Then we got this rascal. I wasn't even going to bring this one because this one does about the same thing that one does. Only when I was studying, I got so delighted, brother, when I got to looking at this. Because we know this is where we put our stuff in to find what we're looking for, right? And we can change all of that. But if you do hit something wrong, This button here, I about fell out of my chair when I seen this. Who knows what this button is? What does Scripture tell us? There's a way of escape. Boom, hit it. I wish some of us could carry this thing around in our back pocket. And in life's day, whip it out and go, Robbie, see ya. Bad movies, I'm out of here. Robbie had a little thing called an easy button. And I thought about that, brother, about bringing it up here. And it is just that easy. When we see the things that are going on in people's workplace and they just hit the easy button and everything straightens out, we think, boy, wouldn't that be great to have such an invention? You have such a creation. No matter what happens. And Randy told me that I can't mess it up, but I don't know about y'all. I'm afraid to type anything in a computer because sometimes that thing just sits there and goes. And that's it. I don't get on it because it just locks up. Kelly, I mean, I don't, and you hit the escape and you got to start all over. Now powering off, rebooting. Do you want to refresh? I don't know. Cheryl. It's doing this. What do? She comes in there. She grabs the mouse in the house and she goes, whoa, whoa, click, 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 click there. How'd you do that? This is the baby. Anybody know what the baby is? Does it look like me, Rick?
No.
It should. It should. You want to see him?
It's not as good looking as mine.
Rick says, or Jimmy says his is better. I don't know. I kind of like my own. Give him a special place, right? The kids can be out, gone in the neighborhood, and you not know where they're at, but you lose this kid. Get all the kids in here. We're going to find a remote. Tear the house upside down. Start looking places you never looked before. Pull out the silverware drawer. Of course, now for sure, she has to check there. So we're talking about somebody who put the skillet in the refrigerator. I went the other day. I could probably show this with y'all. I was doing laundry. I grabbed the whites, and I'm coming out. And I walked, brother, walked straight over to the refrigerator. I opened it up, and I looked at it, and I said, these are not going to fit in here. And then I looked, and I'm like, they go in the dryer, not the refrigerator. So Cheryl has to look the crazy places when we're looking for something. But this right here should look and mimic me 100%. There's an amazing thing on here, two amazing things that I found as I looked at this. Debbie, now put your glasses on. You're in a bad shape as I am. And here's what's so good about these. I don't have to look at it. I can't see anything, but I know where they are. That leaves me without excuse, right? What's this red one say?
Where?
Right here.
Oh, power.
I have to give it power. Not only do I have to give it power, but there's one right here, which is funny. That one's always rubbed off of all of them, the select button. So as I'm going through giving it power, do I hit select or not? Yep, nope, yep, nope, yep, nope. My thumb starts to look like Sarah's when she's texting. Yep, yep, yep. I can't text this fast, girl, but I can find the channels on it. Up and down, up and down. No, yes, yes, yes. Oh, no, back off. I shouldn't have looked at that. Go through it again. Come back. Just a minute. Click. Oh, no, they shouldn't have did that. We already said we got this. So God makes us a way of escape. Look, folks, there's a lot more here that I have, but I've went long enough, I feel. Sin is a sickness. And there's times in your life when you're going to have to get your eyes off of the law of God and get your eyes on the gospel. Because you know you've broken the law. You know you've went against God. You've been disobedient. And if you keep looking at that, every sin you commit is the highest mountain, the worst you could possibly do. There's no way God forgive you. But hear me in this. Let me get every single person's attention on this. You confess, you repent, you are forgiven. I do not care if you feel forgiven. There's no works that you can do to make you forgiven. You simply must take God and Jesus at His Word. And His Word says you are. If you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. He is the payment for your sin. Doesn't matter if you feel forgiven. And if you've been at the places I've been in my life, and you've been where I've been in my life, I will tell you, there's been times when I've repented and repented and confessed and confessed to God, and I did not feel not one bit forgiven. My heart was still broken, and the Lord had to come and say, "Get up, I have forgiven you. I don't care how you feel. You're not guilty anymore. I have forgiven you. I've separated that from you. It's no longer there." Let me give you what the Scripture says in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1 says, "Come now, let us reason together." God is asking you to come. Let's talk about it. Let's reason together. He's not going to say your sin's okay, folks. He's not, I promise you. He's going to say it's wrong, but you can be forgiven. "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they were red like crimson, they shall be as wool, white." In chapter 44, he tells us, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed thee." You know where you're at. You know where you stand. You don't need me to list them. You don't need me to tell you. What I'm asking now is that you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Oh, now all of these things, I guess, would have been better placed up here with all of this stuff. Because you know, in my life, I got an altar at the house that's about this big. And in my life, a lot of times, this is what my altar looks like. It gets so piled up. And Rick, I can come to it and I look at it and I'm like, is there any room, God, for anything else? And you know what he says? These are all mine. I'll take care of them. What's on your mind? What's on your mind? Come. Let us reason together.